This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on the 4th of August, 2025. Good morning, I'm Ian to Eubank, the Hat Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller check in today with the news from the Indiana State Fair. We'll hear about the role of 4-H at the fair, and we hear from the State Fair Queen, too. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana farm forecast was beautiful for the weekend, and now some moisture possibilities enter a part of the state, not all of it. And Friday, grain and oil seed markets were quiet and mostly lower. Brian Basting has market commentary on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Talking about 4-H at the Indiana State Fair and talking with the Indiana State Fair Queen. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News from the Indiana State Fair, which kicked off on Friday and runs now through August 17th. The State Fair is closed on Mondays, and when you visit the Indiana State Fair, you may be looking forward to all that delicious fair food and all the activities, but don't forget that the State Fair is much more than that. Eric Pfeiffer joins us now with a special guest.
What I want to make sure we don't lose sight of is that this is a big event for the kids and for 4-H students across the state, and to help me kind of convey that message here today is Casey Moll. He's with Purdue Extension and the 4-H program leader. And Casey, this whole thing, it really is about the kids and about the 4-H kids.
Eric, it is about the 191,000 4-Hers that we have across the state. This is the biggest celebration of the year, of their achievements, of their accomplishments that they've had learning through their 4-H programming that occurs throughout the year.
And that 4-H programming can vary. It's different for everyone. We've obviously got the livestock shows, and it's more than just that, too.
It is more than just that. Whether it is that youngest 4-Her in the third grade, they may be accomplishing standing up in front of a group of their peers to give a demonstration for the first time, or whether it's that young person that is in their 10th year of 4-H and has a championship animal on the dirt. We're going to be celebrating all of them throughout the fair.
Casey, I guess let's just talk about 4-H on the whole. I think that, you know, some of the things that are happening are tremendous. Earlier this summer, we kind of celebrated a big event, the Beyond Ready event for 4-H. That's really what it's all about. It's about getting them ready and prepared.
Beyond Ready is about equipping the next generation for what is going to face them in work and in life. We currently have about 6 million youth involved in the 4-H program nationwide, and by 2030, we want 10 million young people that are beyond ready to take on whatever is going to be facing them and facing our communities across the world.
Casey, thank you so much for joining us, and have a tremendous fair.
Thank you so much, Eric. We look forward to seeing everyone here.
And speaking of the Indiana State Fair, I had the chance earlier to speak with the Indiana State Fair Queen, Pilar Bravo. She's from Marion County, and I asked her what she was looking forward to most while serving as this year's State Fair Queen.
That is such a good question. Honestly, I can go in different routes. You know, I love the food. I love, obviously, the animals and the 4-H projects. But there's also a lot of cool things happening here. We have the wolves that are coming in, and then we also have the circus, which is new. The mullet competition, I've always loved watching that while I've been here. I can go anyway, seriously.
I understand that you have a passion for showing horses, and so you have to be excited about all the horse shows here at the Indiana State Fair as well.
Absolutely. I'm really excited for the draft show and the hitches. I'm really excited about that one. My sister is actually showing my horse currently as we speak. She just took first place, which I'm really proud of her. It's a little bit different being on the other side of things and not showing my horse this year, but it's something exciting, and I'm really happy to support my sister.
For folks who have never been to the Indiana State Fair, What advice would you give them in terms of this is why you've got to come?
Every part of the state fair has something for everybody. It's truly unique, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And definitely to get out here and obviously stay hydrated because it does get hot, but we do have AC buildings. So.
Absolutely. Well, stay hydrated. Once again, Pilar Bravo, your 2025 Indiana State Fair Queen. The Indiana State Fair running now through Sunday, August 17th. And for more information, visit IndianaStateFair.com. CJ Miller on the road for Hoosier Ag Today.
As the saying goes, good things come to those who wait. But what if you don't want to wait? What if you want to pay for next year's seed order now? Then you're in luck, because if you pay for your order from Seed Genetics Direct before August 10th, they'll take 14% off. And you can pay your way with cash, check, or credit card. Just make that payment by August 10th, and they'll take 14% off. So much for waiting around for good to happen. Visit Seed Genetics Direct. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. See Genetics Direct.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. It's a tale of North versus South as we kick off this week. We all had a gorgeous weekend, low humidity values, and a pretty nice setup overall. But as we approach the week here today, we get started and seeing a little bit of moisture trying to sneak up into southern parts of Indiana. This is a cutoff area of moisture that's associated with some action coming in over the southeastern United States and getting trapped between the Tennessee and Ohio valleys. So I think we're going to be seeing cloud cover off and on in southern Indiana and some hit and miss scattered showers, not just today, but likely into tomorrow. Tonight into tomorrow morning, we can actually see that get a little farther north in far western Indiana. But the northern half of the state generally is going to be dry all the way through, and humidity values are going to stay under control. So we have more nice weather as we move through the first part of this week in northern Indiana. By the time we get to midweek, everybody evens out. We see partly to mostly sunny skies statewide, and we are staying dry. Humidity values starting to creep up a little bit, but I have no precipitation in the forecast for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And at this point, we had put some forecasted precipitation in over the weekend, but I think that's gone now as well. I'm looking for a completely dry Saturday and Sunday across all of the Hoosier State. Now, to be clear, late Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, we do see a frontal boundary trying to set up across the upper Midwest back into Iowa. And ahead of that, we can see some instability that maybe triggers some on-again, off-again scattered showers, but coverage under 30%. That front to our west kind of stalls out as we start next week. It doesn't get on the move until Monday night into Tuesday. That's when we can see showers and thunderstorms come through pretty much all parts of the Hoosier State. Behind it, we are drying down a little bit, but still dealing with humidity values and some instability. I won't rule out some hit and miss scattered showers and storms the second half of next week, but by far we do not all get them. And I think that by the time we get to the end of next week, there are going to be several areas, probably a good 40% of the state, that is going to be crying for rain, wanting some moisture. It looks to me like overall our August is going to be starting off here dry through the first half of the month. I just don't see any good, everybody gets it kind of set up for precipitation anytime here over the next 2 weeks. Even the front that comes through early next week is going to only end up with about 70% coverage. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Unchanged beans, corn, and wheat a little bit lower to wrap up the week. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Settlements coming up. We'll begin, though, with thoughts from Brian Basting, market analyst at Advanced Trading. I checked in with him in the middle of the session. Some consolidation, it appears, as we head into the weekend. And the markets are mixed, quietly lower in corn and beans back and forth. Brian, anything particularly that's impacting markets going into the weekend?
Thanks for having me, Andy. We're really seeing a continued good weather environment, for lack of a better phrase, for corn here. as we're way past the midpoint of pollination. We're probably in the last 15 to 20% now nationwide. Post-pollination, though, is an important time for corn, and we're getting some mild temperatures moving in here. Ample rain this past week for a number of areas, which is nearly ideal. And the corn market is trying to factor in now the size of this corn crop for 2025 here. And we're looking at some new contract lows were made this past week, looking at sub $3.90 for September futures. And December corn went below 410, not quite a new contract low, but right down near those lows. So just a supply-driven market, Andy. Also in Brazil, looking at a large crop down there. Maybe producers aren't actively selling that crop yet, which has given us some good export sales here in the U.S. But for the most part, we're still going to look at a large crop in Brazil and eventually some competition down the road. And so we're just looking at a supply-heavy market in corn right now, Andy, waiting to see if there's any trade deals that may be struck for beans. The big variable in beans is the lack of a trade deal for China. We did see some contract lows made this week in old crop beans for August and September, for example. We just don't have any big demand push at the moment. If you really remove China from the equation this fall, then you're looking at a much different balance sheet for beans. But we'll see. There's plenty of time yet to get a deal, but we're only 30 days away from the new crop year. So I would say, Andy, overall, it's just a supply-driven market as we move into a critical month here for beans, pod set and pod fill in August. But non-threatening weather and some ample production supplies both here and in Brazil for corn.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the weather, non-threatening, mostly, obviously, then favorable conditions over what kind of a period of time, all the way into harvest, as far as the way things look right now?
National Weather Service came out on July 31st with their updated forecast for the month of August. They said that equal chances of above or below normal precip for most of the Midwest during the month of August. Of course, there can be a 3-inch rain 1 week and nothing for 10 days after that. You're going to average out close to equal chances of above or below. But point being is that it didn't decisively come out here and say hot and dry in August, which would not be good for either corn or beans. And so if you're looking at a neutral, if you will, report there, Andy, that'd be just about ideal for finishing the corn and during pod set and pod fill. But we'll just have to see how it shakes out. But those are the longer-term forecasts. Intermediate, of course, here in short-term, is very, very mild here into the middle of next week. About that first 5 to 6 days of August, it's going to be cool, and then it's going to warm up again. But I don't hear a lot of forecasters saying it's going to lock in with a hot, dry pattern, or even if it's going to warm up for a bit. More of an up-and-down pattern, above normal for a few days, below normal for a few days. Again, that's not a recipe for a poor finish to the growing season, but as your listeners know, the weather can change on a dime, so we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here.
Support levels in corn and beans, we're looking at some really depressed prices. Are there levels we're getting close to where the market would likely bounce off of and go higher?
For a psychological standpoint, Andy, I'd say that $4 December corn is important to see if we get some end user buying come in here. We did see some good export business this week. I'd remind your listeners that there is some good value there for new crop corn. We did see some good export sales. A slow selling pattern out of Brazil maybe means we'll get a little bit stronger exports in September, October, November than we thought a month, 6 weeks ago. But I'd remind your listeners, too, though, that even though psychological support levels at let's say, $4 in December corn, and I'd say $9.75 would be the psychological support level now for new crop November beans, they're not carved in stone. They may encourage some end user buying, but if we get into August here and start talking about some record yields potential, that the funds have been known to just add on to short positions moving closer to harvest, we'll have to wait and see. But short answer to your question is, I'd say $4 December corn, not a prediction by any means, but more of a benchmark and $9.75 for November beans.
Market commentary from economist Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, September corn lost 4.5 cents, 389.5. December, 410.75, down 3. March contract 2.25 lower at 428.25. Soybeans, August, September, November, all unchanged. SEP stays at 969.5, Novi 989.25. January contract up 0.25 cents at 1007.75. And wheat a little lower, September 516.75, down 6.5. December 537, that was 1.5 cents lower. The protein sector went higher. August live cattle, $230.12, up $2.35. And August lean hogs, $107.35, up 22 cents. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.